Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
I've been thinking about you, and I wonder what cards are heading for your jar. And I'm not talking about the cards that are already in your jar, but I'm talking about the cards that will come in the future. What cards are headed for your jar tomorrow or next week or next year or 10 years from now? If you're new to Verve today or you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, we've been talking a lot about this jar. This jar represents your life. And the cards that are in the jar represent the decisions that go into and will make up your life. The decisions that you just make each and every day. And during this series, we've talked about how you have regrets. I have regrets. There are cards that are already in our jar, decisions we've already made that we would love to change if we could. And I feel pretty confident in saying that if you were given the opportunity, you would love to go back to a previous season in your life, or a previous weekend in your life, or a spring break in your life, or a previous city in your life, or a previous marriage in your life, and make a different decision so that your jar would look better, so that your life would be better. You know, when you think about your greatest regrets, when you look back, you ask yourself a question kind of like this. How could I have been so foolish? Just show of hands, mass confession, if you ever asked yourself that question looking back. Yes, and a few of you are lying, but that's okay. All right, yeah, how could I have been so unwise? Or maybe you think about it like this. I should have seen it coming. Right? Everything, like, I should have seen it coming. Because, like, looking back, hindsight's 20/20, right? And you just say, I should have seen it coming. I mean, if I had paid attention to all those things she said, she gave me so many clues. I should have seen it coming. You know, that interview, when they interviewed me, there were so many clues. How did I miss that? Right? The salesman. If I had listened carefully, there were so many clues. This was not a good idea. 0% financing. My mom warned me about that, right? They said, you know, the more you spend, the more you save. So I thought I had like a savings account going on here or something, right? I mean, you just think, man, I should have seen that coming. And you look back, and here's the thing about I should have seen it coming. If you should have seen it coming, chances are there was somebody in your life who did see it coming, right? Like if you look back, you look at the circumstances around that terrible decision you made, you know, you got in that relationship or you spent that money or whatever it is. If you look back and you think, oh, I should have seen it coming, chances are there was somebody in your life who did see it coming. And that's why last week, if you weren't here, we talked about just the importance of seeking out wisdom from the wise people in your life. Because here's the deal. Chances are, if you should have seen it coming, there are people in your life who did see it coming, and they could have spared you from that poor decision, that decision that you regret. But here's the kind of the next question you have to ask about all of this. Like, why is it that you can't see it coming, but someone else can? Like, why is that? Or to kind of, like, turn it around, like, why can I see trouble coming in your life, but you can't? Right. And why can you, why are there times you can look at my life, you see trouble coming my way, but I can't? Right? Like, why is it that maybe a dilemma you're facing or a choice you've got, why is it I know exactly what you should do, but you don't? And why is it if I told you my story and my dilemma I'm dealing with, you would know exactly what I should do, but I don't? I mean, what is that about? And what can I do about it? What can you do about it? Well, here's why that happens, okay? Emotionally charged environments are not great for decision making. Okay? The problem is, just about every decision making environment is an emotionally charged environment. Right? And so emotionally charged environments are not good for decision making, but almost every decision that you face is an emotionally charged environment. And so emotions and your emotions make decisions difficult, especially the big ones, especially the significant ones in your life. I mean, think about like the emotions swirling around your last big purchase, a car, perhaps. Okay, you're getting ready to go car shopping. You plan to buy something, used or pre-owned, as they call it these days. You know, you're going to buy something pre-owned. It's going to be practical, like a four-door sedan, and you're going to pay cash. But you step foot into the dealer showroom, and what happened? Okay. Well, what happened is you were captivated by the brand spanking new coupe that is rotating under the bright showroom lights, right? And it just catches your attention. And while your head is rubbernecking in the direction of the main event over here under the lights, that savvy salesman notices, and I mean, he's been trained for this, right? He plays upon your emotional pull, and he ramps up the sales pitch and the pressure. You know, he tells you, if you buy this today, I mean, I am authorized. I talked to the guy above me, you know, in that back office somewhere, I am authorized to make you a deal that, man, you won't even spend much more money than what you'd spend looking at that car outside, right? And what happens? Next thing you know, you're driving home in a brand new car with 72 months of payments, right? You've been there, okay? Now, if I had been at the dealership with you, I could have helped you with that, okay? Because it's not my car I'm looking for. I'm not emotionally attached like you are. I could have gone, no, you can't do that. Because remember, you want something practical, and you want something used, and you want to pay cash. You don't have that much cash, right? I could have told, I knew exactly what you should have done, okay? But why? Because I wasn't emotionally attached to it, okay? And you didn't, because when emotions get attached to a thing, you're prone to make a bad financial decision, because finances, money is emotional. Same's true in marriage. Okay? Marriage is emotional. Parenting is emotional. If you have kids, you remember what it was like before you had kids? You remember life before kids? Before you had kids, you knew exactly what your friends should do with their kids, right? I mean, you knew, you're like, man, if you went home, you're like, man, when we have kids, like, they need, if that was my son, I would, yeah. If that was my daughter, I know exactly what they need to do with their kids, right? I mean, it was so obvious. But then you have your own, and you live in a fog for like 18 years, right? I mean, isn't that the way it is? I mean, you just kind of live in this fog, and you think, why is this so difficult? I don't understand. You're like, this was so easy before we had kids. Why is this so hard? Now, at least I get behind closed doors. Like, what are we going to do? Like, how do we handle? We knew what to do with other people's kids. Why can we not figure it out with our kids? It's because parenting is emotional, right? And they're your kids, and so it gets emotional. And emotionally charged environments are not great decision making. Environment. It's not great for making great decisions. And yet every big decision involves emotions. And so what happens is emotions make what's obvious less obvious. Emotions cloud your ability and it cloud my ability to make great decisions. Now, this shouldn't really surprise us, because the Bible actually gave us the heads up on this. And a book of the Bible named Jeremiah, just a real short, simple verse, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, we'll put it on the screen, says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Okay? The heart's deceitful above all things. What's he saying? He's saying your heart, okay, your emotions, because that's where the emotions get all messed up, right? Your heart, your emotions have the ability to lead you astray. They have the ability to lead you astray. That adage, trust your heart, follow your heart. Sounds good, doesn't it? It's horrible advice, right? I mean, it's just, Listen, let me tell you something. If you and I sat down and we just kind of talked about your jar, okay, and all the cards in here you wish weren't in here, you know where we could probably point to? Right here, right? What went into your heart? Because you got caught up. It was emotions, passion, and you made a bad decision, all right? Because evidently, apparently, the heart can't be trusted, the Bible says. The heart is deceitful above all things. And so emotionally driven decision-making rarely leads to great decisions. So what do, right? Now you're depressed. You're like, I can only have a chance, right? All right, what do you do with that? Well, you need a strategy, and I need a strategy to just help you cut through the emotional fog that can keep you from making great decisions. And last week, we talked a little bit about that kind of goes into this strategy. We talked about two questions that you can ask before you make a decision that will help you not regret the decision you make later. Two questions you can ask today so you don't regret tomorrow. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to go to our website, go to our media page, and you can watch or listen to last week's message. But today, I want to talk, and I don't know if you've ever heard of this concept, but I want to talk about pre-deciding. Pre-deciding, okay? And what I mean by that is deciding in advance what you want your jar, what you want your life to look like and to be like. Okay? Because when it comes to the most important arenas of your life, okay, you don't want to wait until the moment of emotion, okay, until the moment of temptation, until the moment of crisis and emergency or implementation to figure out what you're going to do, to figure out what your values are and where the boundaries lie and what your commitments are. You don't want to wait until your emotions and your passions cloud your ability to make a great decision. You want to decide in advance. You want to pre-decide. Jesus actually said something about this in the book of Luke, chapter 14, and verse 28. Again, we'll put it on the screen. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will you not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? What's Jesus saying? He's saying, hey, listen, if you want to think through ahead of time, okay, you want to think in advance, you want to count the cost here. You want to make sure you have enough money to complete it. You want to think, you want to be ahead of the curve. Okay, you want to pre-decide. And here's what I want you to think about this morning as we go through this message. What cards are heading towards your jar? What cards are making their way here? Okay. In other words, kind of another way to think about it, it's like, when it comes to just the different areas of your life, the important areas of your life, what do you want to pre-decide about the cards that are going to go in your jar? Like when you hit 80, if you do, and I'm sure you will, okay? But when you hit 80 years old, what cards do you want to be in your jar? What story do you want your life to tell? Okay. And when I think about my parents, one of the things that just stands out to me when I think just through their life and growing up in my home, one of the things that stands out to me is how my mom and dad made pre-decisions about the kind of family that they wanted to have, about the kind of people they wanted to be, about the kind of parents they hoped to be, long before I ever came around, long before I ever arrived. They just made some like pre-decisions in life. Like my dad, you know, he didn't wait until he got home from work to decide whether he was going to play with me or not. Okay. My parents didn't wait until Sunday morning to decide, you know, do we feel like going to church today? They had already decided. I mean, that was a non-negotiable. My mom didn't wait until it was night after she'd had a long day and she was exhausted and it was time for me to go to bed. She didn't wait until then to decide, am I going to read to Jeff or not read to Jeff? She'd already made that decision. They had already made those decisions long before the moment of implementation had arrived. And when it comes to like the most important areas of your life, those conscious decisions that you deal with in your life, what matters immensely are the decisions that you make ahead of time, the decisions that you have made ahead of time, what you have pre-decided. And here's why, okay? Because today's decisions create tomorrow's experiences. That's why pre-decision is important. Because today's decisions create tomorrow's experiences. And so I want you to think today, like, what do you want to experience tomorrow? What do you want your jar to contain? Because depending on what that looks like, you need to make some pre-decisions. And so I want to just talk about some of the most important areas of your life. And let's just begin by talking about time, okay? Time. The reality is your jar is going to one day be filled with decisions that you made about how you spend your time, or with decisions you made about how you're not going to spend your time. Now, let me give you a parenting example, and it's in a book of the Bible that we actually studied earlier this year. It's a book of the Bible called Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was a leader, and he is returning from exile back home to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is just falling apart. It's under foreign oppression. The walls have been destroyed, and he wants to rebuild the city, beginning with the outer wall that will protect the city. And so in the third chapter of Nehemiah, we read this list of just name after name, like dozens of names, all men who are helping to rebuild the wall, until we come to this one verse in Nehemiah chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Shalom, son of Halohesh, ruler of a half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. Kind of like just an interesting verse, just kind of packed away here. Now, this guy Shalom was a leader in Jerusalem, which what that means is he could have hired the workout. He could have hired others. He could have outsourced the work of the wall that he was responsible for rebuilding. We're told many others in Jerusalem did that very thing, but not this guy. Okay, Shalom just kind of humbles himself. He says, you know what, I'll rebuild this section of the wall. But not just that, he brings his daughters to do it with him. Which this is kind of crazy when you think. I mean, this is the man right here. This is the man who invented take your daughters to work day. You didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? Who knew, right? But you know, Shalom, he takes his daughters to rebuild this wall. And you think about the experience for his girl. You know, he's telling her, here's how you hammer a nail. You know, always make sure you measure twice and saw once. Right? And girls, never let anybody tell you that you can't do something because you're a girl. I mean, you just think about what that day maybe was like. Because here's what I think. I bet that memory for his girls, I bet that decision to include his girls, I bet that went in his jar. Like, I bet that was never forgotten. I'll bet when Shalom turned 80 years old, I bet, and his girls were around him, of course, they're women now, I bet they say, hey, Dad, you remember the time you took us and we got to help you build the wall around Jerusalem? I bet when Shalom was long gone, and his daughters had grown into old ladies, I bet when they were walking around the city with their grandchildren, their granddaughters, I bet you when they passed that certain point in the wall, I bet they say, hey, look right there. Right there. I did that. I did that with my daddy. Yeah. It's just a cool little verse tucked away here in the Bible. I've got two daughters, and I pre-decided when I read this story years ago, I will never do a home repair unless my daughters are at my side. And man, I've honored that all these past like 12 years. I have never done a home repair. You know, it's a pre-decision that, you know, I just make. But, you know, here's what the Bible says. It actually has something really important to say to you and to me about our time and how we manage it. In Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it says this. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Such a great passage. Yeah. Because here's the deal. Every moment, you're putting a card in your jar by the way you decide to spend your time. Okay. And the scripture says the days are evil. You know, they're evil because they tempt us to live as if there is no God. And as if our life, our jar, doesn't matter. Okay? And the reality is it does matter. It really matters. And so this scripture says, make the most of every opportunity. Okay, the reality is you can always make more money. You can't make more time. And so for you, you know, you might need to think about to whom and to what your time is going. Memories you're making, people that you're loving, needs that you're serving, conversations that you're having, what you're learning. Many of you know I'm going to be transitioning off of the staff here at Verve the beginning of September. Several months ago, I got a call from an organization called Stadia. Stadia plants churches, which simply means they start new churches, like Verve started 5 years ago. Stadia actually helped Verve get started, and they helped churches all across the country start. And they called several months ago and asked if I would come on as their U.S. mobilization executive, which is just a real fancy title, for saying that I'll be overseeing their church planting efforts around the country. And thankfully, there's some perks to this job. And one of those, I get to live here, and I get to stay involved at Verve and be a part of this place. I don't have to move. And so that's really cool for my family. But prior to saying yes to this offer, I had a lot of conversations with Stadia, many just around this whole issue of time. Okay, because this job will require me to travel some. And I don't want to miss large chunks of time with my wife and my daughters. My daughters are not going to be home, but for so many more years, and I don't want to miss them as they grow up. And so, as we're thinking about this job and whether I should say yes or not, I pre-decided limits on what I was willing to travel. I actually have a number. This is the number of nights I'm willing to be gone each month, but I'm not going over that. And so obviously, before I could say yes to Stadia, they had to be good with limits, with that number that I had placed on the nights I was willing to be gone from home. And thankfully, they did, and I said yes. But it really came down to pre-deciding, because I didn't want to say yes to them and then let them decide how much I was going to be gone. Okay? I wanted to pre-decide, because that's going to have a lot to do with how my jar looks and the decisions that get made in regards to the time that I spend with my wife and my girls. And I wonder about you, like, are there any pre-decisions that God is calling you to make about your time? I mean, anything at all. Are there any cards that you want to make sure are going into your jar? Okay. You know, today's the day. And you don't want to decide that tomorrow. Okay. You don't want to be foolish about it. You want to pre-decide. You don't want to wait until the moment of emotion, the moment of implementation, to figure out what are you going to do. Okay? Because today's decisions create tomorrow's experiences. Now, there's obviously a lot of other areas of our life. Another important area of our life are our values and our integrity. And, you know, when it comes to values and integrity, you want to make those decisions ahead of time, right? You want to pre-decide. For example, like, how are you going to handle financial integrity, right? You know, spending and savings and debt and generosity. I mean, you want to make those kind of decisions before the money starts coming in, okay? Because once the money starts coming in, it gets emotional, okay? You want to make those decisions before the money comes in. Lisa and I, before we got married, we sought out a lot of counsel and a lot of wisdom, even in regards to finances. And we just made the decision before we were married that we wanted our standard of giving to determine our standard of living. Okay. Now, that's a little backwards, I know, okay? Because most of the world kind of offers, you know, your standard of living determines your standard of giving. If there's anything after all the stuff and expense you have that you can give, then you give that, right? But we, at least I said, we don't want to live that way. We want our standard of giving to determine our standard of living. So what we did is we decided, what's our standard of giving? And we decided when we got married, we wanted to live, early on in our marriage, the 10-10-80 principle, okay? We wanted to give the first 10% of everything we make. Okay, that's what the Bible calls a tithe. Okay, we wanted to give that to God. 10% goes to God. Then 10% we save, and then 80% of what we make, we live off of that. Okay, And we just wanted to live by that. Now, we also made some pre-decisions that, of how we wanted to increase that first 10% that we gave as the years went by. We wanted to increase that, and we would live off a smaller percentage of what we were making, realizing that we'd probably make more money, and so we could live off of a smaller percentage. But we pre-decided, because we realized we don't want the money to start coming and then make those decisions, because they won't be great decisions. So we pre-decide what our financial values would be. Now, listen, I got a lot of friends. I can't tell you how many friends over the years who have just told me, I can't afford to give now. I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to be generous. Okay, but man, when I make more money, when I get more money, then I will. Okay. The reality is you won't. Okay? They won't. All right. And why? Because when more money comes in, they're just going to pursue a greater type of more expensive lifestyle, more stuff. And as you know, generosity is a nice sentiment, it's just not going to become a reality in my friend's life. And why is that? Very simply, it's because they didn't pre-decide how they would handle their finances. Okay, and so what happens is now they make all their decisions in an emotional fog. And emotionally charged environments are not great for making good decisions. So how will you handle financial integrity? You know, for you, there's other values. How will you handle sexuality and purity? I mean, how about when it comes to those areas of our life? You know, you don't want to wait until you're in the back seat of a car, right? I mean, you don't want to wait until a moment of intense temptation to decide, what are my values? What do I believe? What do I want going in my jar? What do I want my jar to look like years from now? I'm not at least aware of any great decisions ever been made in the backseat of a car, okay? Just saying. All right, you want to make those decisions way before those emotional moments, okay? And so for you, just some questions. What decisions around sexuality, what are those for you? Around your values, around your appetites, your desires, your habits. What are those decisions that you want to make before the moment of crisis and temptation comes? What cards do you want to place in your jar? How about relationships? That's a little bit of a issue in our life, right? A little area of importance in our life, relationships. I mean, what kind of decisions, all right? What have you decided around what you want to make sure goes into your jar in regards to dating? Marriage, parenting. Okay? You know, girls, if you want to marry a great Christian guy who's really got his act together, okay, and that means you don't want to date whoever just asks you out because they're cute. It's not going to get you where you want to be, all right? If you're a guy, you want to remain faithful to your wife, you don't want to flirt with the other women at the office. Okay, that's not going to go well with your jar, okay? Like, what pre-decisions do you need to make when it comes to the relationships in your life? You know, one other big area I'll mention, it's certainly not an exhaustive list, just some of the big areas in our life, but it comes down to this relationship. But, what will my life with God be like? You ever ask yourself that question? What will my life with God be like? That's a big question. What have you decided around that one? And if you're a parent, have you made a commitment to the spiritual life of your children? Right. I can tell you, I'll never forget a particular decision my parents made when I was a teenager. It was not a great moment for me, but it became a defining moment in my life. I was playing basketball, loved basketball, and this particular season we had a great team. We actually placed third in state this particular season. Very disappointed that we didn't win state, but we came in third, not too bad. And early in the season, we had a tournament on a weekend, and one of the games conflicted with church. Now, my parents had pre-decided that a relationship with God was a priority in our life, that mattered more than anything else, absolutely. And they pre-decided, it's not that, you can't miss church, you're out with God. No, it wasn't that, but they just pre-decided, church, going to church on a weekly basis, that's a value we hold. Okay, that's just That's a non-negotiable for our family. And so, because of that, during the third period of this particular game on the weekend, the tournament, much to my coach's chagrin, I mean, we had given them the heads up ahead of time, but my mom gave me the signal. Any of you ever been pulled out of a basketball game by your mom? Okay, I have. All right, thank you very much, right? My mom gave me the signal. It's time to go. And so I left mid-game. We were in the middle of the game. I left. I left my team. I left my coach. And you can only imagine, I mean, I was 10. You can only imagine how embarrassed I was. I was like, really? Really? And it wasn't that my parents thought, oh, no, you're sinning if you miss church. No, they didn't think that. It was a value in our family. It was a value they wanted to instill in me. That my relationship with God and my relationship with other Christ followers matters. It's important. And let me tell you, as embarrassing as it was for me in that moment, I love telling that story today. I really do, because it just became a defining moment in my life. It just gave me time to think, like what does matter? What's most important in my life? And I just realized, you know, my relationship with God, it's way more important than anything I'm ever going to do outside of that, right? Outside, it's more important than some basketball game. Now, here's the thing. Again, doesn't mean my parents are wrong if they let me play. Not at all, okay? They were just instilling values in me. And we live in a different day, I mean, where we have multiple services over multiple days. So rarely, even if you said, we're going to be at church every week, would you have to pull your kid off of a playing field? But you still have to make a decision for yourself, okay? And for your children, like, what will my life with God be like? Right? What will my life with God be like? It's one of the things I love about our church. I think it's a great place where you can ask that question. It's a safe place for you to ask that question. Even if you don't believe in God, it's a safe place just to wrestle with some big questions in your life. And, you know, maybe you've been coming to Verve for a while and you're like, you know, I've been thinking about that. And you're at a place where you're kind of ready to say yes to a relationship with God. I'm real excited. In a couple weeks, we're doing baptisms here at Verve. And baptisms are, when you read in the Bible, everybody, right when they said yes to a relationship with God, we saw the next step they took is they were baptized. And we're going to be doing that in just a couple weeks here. If you're at that place, if you're ready to say yes to a relationship with God, man, I encourage you to take part in our baptisms in 2 weeks. You can sign up at the Velcro Bar before you head out today. And maybe you're not ready, maybe you have questions. Go ahead and still sign up. We'll call you. We'll help answer questions, and you can make a decision kind of based on our conversation and questions that you have, and we'll help you kind of work through some of those questions. But man, we'd love for you to be a part of that day. Those are my favorite days here at Verve, our baptism weekends, when people just say yes to God, when they wrestled with that question, what will my relationship with God be like? What will my life with God look like? And maybe you're at that place, but that's something we all have to wrestle with. There's a great passage in Proverbs. We've used a lot of scriptures from Proverbs. Proverbs is a book in the Bible. It's all about wisdom, all about making great decisions. And when it comes to this whole idea of pre-deciding, there's just a great passage here in Proverbs 4, verse 25. It says this: let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to your paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. What he's saying, stay focused. Okay, give careful thought. Decide ahead of time to pay attention to those things that need and deserve your attention. Because here's the thing, I don't want to look back, and you don't want to look back at, you know, some busted up relationship, some bad financial decision, some bad relational decision, some, you know, bad professional decision, and think, man, how could I have been so foolish? I should have seen it coming. The writer here says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet, to the direction you're going to walk. Give careful thought to your jar. Okay? Because, I mean, really, here's the big question. This is your life here. Okay, this jar, we each get one. Okay, this is your life. And when you come to the end of your life, and that you will, okay, one day you will, the question is, what do you want your cards to say? What do you want your decisions to have been? Now, understand that making some pre-decisions today in regards to your time, in regards to relationships, in regards to your finances, in regards to your values and integrity, making some pre-decisions today may require you to take some extreme action. Okay? Like for some of you, you may need to cut some credit cards. Right? Some of you, you may decide you need to break up or move out. Maybe you need to find a new circle of friends. Maybe you need to cut back on some traveling. Maybe for you, you need to set the alarm clock on Sunday morning. Maybe you need to clear out the liquor cabinet at home or join a 12-step group. You know, maybe for you, you need to take your family on vacation or make an appointment with your counselor or sell the house or cancel the internet service or change jobs. Sounds extreme, doesn't it? It's because it can be. It can be. But here's the thing. I know people who would give anything to be able to rewind their lives and make some pre-decisions that would change the circumstances, help them avoid the circumstances that they find themselves in today. People who are just in a cloud of emotion and passion traded their career for embezzlement. Right? Traded their health and reputation for addiction. Traded their marriage and their family for an affair. I mean, they would give anything they could to go back and change the contents of their jar. Let me just say this. There are all kinds of predecisions and actions that feel extreme now that will look like common sense when you're looking back. In other words, man, as you're thinking about some of the predecisions you need to make, and maybe some have come up as we've been talking, what feels like a sacrifice now, trust me, it will feel like an investment later on. And I'll also say this, as you decide in advance what you want your jar to have, and as you take some extreme action, there will be those around you who think you're overreacting. Okay? In fact, in your effort to be wise, to make great decisions, you will have friends around you who think you're being foolish. But as you look back on your life, what is the story that you want to tell? You want to tell a story of being swept away by the emotion of the moment? Yeah. You want to tell a story of how you allowed conventional wisdom to direct you down a path you later regretted? You want to tell a story where you were just part of the herd, everybody else was doing it, and I did it? Or do you want to be able to tell a story showing how in the midst of intense emotion, powerful emotion, you had clarity. And you did the unusual thing. You did the thing that set you apart from the herd. And you have a story that you can be proud of. You have a story that you don't mind repeating. If that's you, and please remember, today's decisions, today's pre-decisions, create tomorrow's experiences. So what will you pre-decide? I'm going to pray for us, and then you're going to have some time. We're going to actually show a video that will help you kind of reflect on what you've heard. And, you know, maybe during this time you realize and you kind of know what that pre-decision, maybe in a certain area of your life you need to make, and maybe you just settle that with God today. Okay? Maybe for you during this time, maybe that question, you know, what will my life with God look like? Maybe that's the thing you're wrestling with. You just need to think about that. And maybe pray. Maybe you haven't prayed before. Maybe today you're praying, God, God, I'm not even sure you exist, but would you make yourself known to me? Would you show yourself? Yeah. But just some time for you to think about what you've heard today. And during this time, we're going to make communion available. And communion is just a time we celebrate and remember what Jesus has done for us in dying on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. We could have a relationship with him, a new start. And communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represents Christ's body and his blood that he shed for us. And communion is available at tables around the room, tables with the candles. And you can make your way at any time during this video. If you'd like to take communion, you can make your way to the tables then. But first, I'll pray for you. God, thank you for life that you've given us. And God, forgive us for so often screwing it up, making poor decisions, kind of living from moment to moment, getting caught up in the emotions of a moment, and oftentimes making unwise choices. I know I have done that so many times. And God, life is so short. It goes by so quickly. God, would you help us to choose wisely? God, help us to choose wisely what goes into our life, because we only have one life. God, we want to be able to look back on our life. And instead of feeling regret, feel relief, feel joy because of the decisions we've made. And God, if we're going to do that, would you help us make some pre-decisions just to figure out our values, figure out our relationships, things that we just want to be true about our life, things that will honor you, and things that you can bless in our life. So we can have a jar of life that pleases you and brings us great joy. So God, would you help us choose wisely? Would you help each one in this room today as they think about predecisions in their life? Lord, would you give them the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to actually do it? In Jesus' name, amen.